On this Resurrection Sunday, let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where have you laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "teacher." Later, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. They seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in, well, that elusive Scarlet Pimpernel? For those of us who have read the classic book, the Scarlet Pimpernel is a swashbuckling, exciting reading from cover to cover. This novel of historical fiction is set during the Reign of Terror, following the start of the French Revolution. The title is the alias of its hero, a chivalrous Englishman who rescues French aristocrats before they are sent to Madame la Guillotine. Sir Percy Blakeney, who appears to be nothing more than a wealthy dandy, but in reality a formidable swordsman and a quick-thinking escape artist. The band of gentlemen who assist him are the only ones who know of his true secret identity. He is identified by his symbol, a simple flower, the Scarlet Pimpernel. His French wife, Marguerite Blakeney, does not share his secret. She is being blackmailed for her to discover the identity of the Pimpernel by the French ambassador to Great Britain. If she doesn't agree, her brother will be executed. She agrees to help him, but discovers that the Pimpernel is also her husband. A lot of adventure, intrigue, and romance, but Sir Percy's true identity was sought after by the enemy in order to capture and to kill him. Likewise, the Romans, Greeks, Jews, Samaritans, and others also sought Christ, some for good intentions, others for sinister motives. But remember this, Christ eluded many of them, but it was on his own terms, until he was ready to be arrested and crucified. Christ died on Friday afternoon, then certified dead by the authorities. He was removed from the cross prior to sundown because of the Sabbath weekend and the rules dictated in the law of Moses. Then his body was hastily placed in a tomb. The Romans had stationed guards outside the tomb at the insistence of the religious authorities, so that no one would illegally tamper with the body, because the religious authorities were concerned that word may leak out that the prophecies did come true, and they did not want to have to deal with that matter at the present. Mary arose early on the first day of the week. We remember her as Mary Magdalene, and she journeyed to the tomb for several reasons. She was there to finish preparing the body for burial. The body still had to be anointed with spices and perfumes before being interred for entombment. Another reason given is she was there to grieve. It must be remembered that Christ had changed her life for the better, and Mary Magdalene visited the tomb with a heavy heart. It seemed that this situation couldn't become worse, but Mary discovered it could. The tomb appeared in such a way that she noticed an unusual sight. It had possibly been vandalized. The stone was rolled away, and as Mary's fears mounted, she glanced into the tomb to discover that the body was missing. Mary's conclusion was logically the same as ours would have been too. It was stolen. All Mary knew was that the body was gone. Corpses did not just walk off, and it had to be recovered. What about the Roman guards? This is an interesting aspect to this entire resurrection story. It seems that these guards were in a deep sleep as if it was alcohol or drug induced, but it was neither. God had been the perpetrator behind it all. Deep sleep syndrome, if you read your scriptures in the Old Testament, was used of God to protect God's people at times from their enemies, such as when David was on the run from King Saul, who sought his death, and God put a deep sleep upon the soldiers of King Saul. Also, even earlier in the book of Genesis, it is written that Adam, the first man, was placed in a deep slumber when God created Eve from his rib. Mary ran to the disciples, who were still hidden in the upper room. The apostles Simon, Peter, and John immediately ran to the tomb. Remember, the apostles had not yet comprehended the entire teachings of Jesus Christ regarding his death, burial, and resurrection, that he must arise from the dead. And so Simon, Peter, and John were as confused as Mary. But they left Mary alone in the cemetery. And Mary looked into the tomb and saw two angels. It must be remembered that those angels had not appeared in the presence of Simon, Peter, and John during their visit to the tomb, only to Mary. Numerous times the Bible mentions people who had encountered angels, and this was one of them. An interesting parallel is the Christmas narrative 33 years previously, and again the angels returned and played a prominent role in announcing to humans the glad tidings of our Savior at the resurrection. Mary was bewildered and, as I said earlier, confused. The angels asked her why she was weeping. Mary wanted to know where Christ's body was located. This would bring some comfort in her sorrow. Then suddenly she stood around and there Christ stood. Mary had no idea who it could have been. Who would have thought it was the Lord, because such occurrences did or do not happen? It only took Christ to call Mary by name for her to recognize and realize who had spoken to her. You have probably had this to happen. There are moments when we all encounter friends or acquaintances or colleagues or whatever in unfamiliar surroundings, and we don't recognize them immediately. What about when people telephone and we don't immediately recognize their voices? You know, that can be frustrating and irritating when the caller says, "I'll bet you can't guess who this is speaking." The old guessing game gets frustrating very quickly, though caller ID has remedied the mystery somewhat. Again, Mary couldn't have imagined Christ walking around in a cemetery. He was dead. It just wasn't possible to her. But remember this, with God, all things are possible. Until Christ spoke to her in his familiar voice, Mary was completely oblivious to the transformation that God had accomplished in the resurrection. Like Mary, Christ calls and invites us to follow him by faith. Because Christ arose from the dead, we are encouraged to live a more fulfilling life by his presence in our lives. Remember in the Apostle Paul's epistle in Romans chapter 8 verse 37, it says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Christ is with us, so there is nothing that can separate us from Christ's presence and love. Though the resurrection event occurred 2,000 years ago, we live with the assurance of what happened on that Easter morning because Christ is alive. God began something new, and our world has never been the same because of what God did and is continually doing presently. Something new arose which became a part of our faith, and it was the promise of hope. Hope not only gave Mary Magdalene, the apostles, the early believers motivation, it continues to give us motivation to our faith. We now move beyond the spiritual darkness into the radiance of God's brilliance. God desires the best for us. Isn't it time that we acknowledge that God's best is the only legitimate path to happiness in this world? And yes, heaven to come. Christ, our Savior, is indeed risen today. Let us celebrate and rejoice. Shall we pray? O God of the resurrection, our hope, we pray, O God, that we may always live with the resurrection in our hearts and minds, that we will have that constant hope wherever we go, regardless of the situations which we may face, the challenges which may come before us. But we know that your Son's presence is with us morning, noon, and night. Every day of the week, every hour, minute, and second, we are blessed to know with the assurance and comfort that Christ our Savior is indeed risen. And without that hope, there would be nothing. We give thanks always, O God, for the greatest gift of all time, the resurrection of the Messiah, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came in bodily form from heaven to be there for us, for our salvation, as well is for our comfort. We give thanks always, O Lord, through the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.